this is what you're fighting for. I mean, every day you're out there.
What they're doing is blowing people off.
If you continue to look the other way and shut up, then the oppressors, the authoritarians, get total control and total power. Because this is just like in Arizona, this is just like in Georgia. It's another element that backs them into a corner and shows their lies and misrepresentations.
This is why this audience is going to have to get engaged. As we've told you, this is the fight.
All this nonsense, all this spin, they can't handle the truth.
War Room, Battleground. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Has it been a crazy enough day for you yet? You got enough of the intensity and urgency of War Room? This is why we're so proud with Real America's Voice, Lindell TV, all of it, to be able to bring you this show, my own production staff. I'm going to pick up where we left off this morning. Plus, I've got two of my favorite people, Stephen Mosher, who, remember, Mosher really came to public attention because he talked about the murderous dictatorship in Beijing, about what, 450, 500 million forced abortions, right, that really have destroyed the psychology of the Chinese people. And I've got Matt Staver, one of the at Liberty Council, one of the hardest fighters for life in this country. They're both going to join me here in a minute. But I got to pick up where we left off this morning because we ran out of time with our own Ben Harnwell. Ben, it's been another throwdown hard all day on this, really FISA's the tip of the spear today, but it's inextricably linked with this supplement for Ukraine. I want to make sure there's a couple pieces we didn't get to in analyzing of information that's out there. I know you've got a couple you want to throw in, but I had to go with, and I very rarely try to be emotional and get her when I put it up there, but every now and again, you know, late at night, I will lose it. Lead story last night was about Zelensky now. Now, this guy's forced some, I've never seen it like this in my life, where some punk is forcing himself right into the middle of the American debate and calling. And now he's picking up on turning this stuff and saying the Republican Party, Russian propaganda has infected has infected this debate in the Republican Party about cutting him off and his oligarch buddies in Ukraine of any more money. I mean, he's picked up on Turner, etc. And this is not, like I said, Gateway Pundit, Breitbart, Citizen Free Press. This was Politico's lead story. I know you've got a couple other pieces to analyze from this morning, but walk us through Zelensky now directly inserting himself, not just in the process, but saying that the MAGA, that we're just taking Russian talking points, sir.
Steve, good afternoon to you. Yeah, well, look, let's just fresh off hectoring Speaker Mike No Johnson Johnson on Twitter to hurry up and get his money, fresh off giving interviews to the Washington Post that the Langley Bugle, sort of hectoring America's political class to get him his money, fresh off the constantly sort of badgering on the Congress to pass his $60 billion. He's given an interview to Axel Springer, which is the German publishing powerhouse, owner of the Bild and Politico. And in this interview, what is he doing? What's his main theme is? It's that America's political class is beholden to a foreign government. His gripe is, and that's no longer him. So he makes a couple of things in this interview. And interestingly enough, a big part of this is that President Trump isn't sort of playing game with his desires. Now, British Foreign Secretary David Cameron, Lord Cameron, went over to see Donald Trump about this very subject, about Ukraine, a couple of days ago. Now, you might ask, well, why did David Cameron, former UK Prime Minister, present Foreign Secretary, why did he go to Mar-a-Lago? I can only suggest that the same reason that Viktor Orban did a couple of weeks ago is they know who the legitimate president of the United States is. And I'm very happy. I wasn't there at that meeting, but I was very happy to see from both sides read out that President Trump was in no mood whatsoever on being rolled by what the press is being called a charm offensive on behalf of David Cameron. But knowing David Cameron, I more imagine it was a smarm offensive. And the issue is this is the issue that David Cameron has been pushing down on. This is the issue that Zelensky is pushing down on. Basically, in Zelensky's own words, it's not acceptable. You know, he's he wants to hear a serious proposal from Donald Trump. And the idea that they're giving up territory isn't serious for him. And I think everyone here, everyone who's sort of pressuring Donald Trump here, hasn't quite really understood what the nature of MAGA's interest in the Ukraine war is. Ukraine is perfectly free as a country at war, perfectly free to employ whatever means it needs to defend the territorial integrity of its own boundary. It can call it a day when it wants. It can fight when it wants. The issue from Americans, and I know this, I'm sort of constantly reading comments and feedback on my Getter account. The issue from America here, from MAGA specifically, is that they no longer want to be paying for this. That is a substantial issue here. So Zelensky can know, he can say what he likes about how he thinks Donald Trump's proposals are fantasy. It's not important. Right. It's really not important what Zelensky thinks. Anyone in America right now is wanting. The issue is this: how much more of Americans' taxpayers' money is going to go over from the United States in an unaccountable fashion to pursue a war that cannot be won in Ukraine? And you have all the sort of the blathering on that. You know, I said this the other a couple of shows ago, because you just had this Ukraine general come in and say that Russia is ready to sweep down and occupy the whole of Europe. I make this point again, Steve. Russia has the GDP of the state of New York, less than the GDP of the state of New York. It has a per capita GDP less than Costa Rica. It's not going anywhere. The whole idea, this whole bugbear that, you know, that you've got like a Soviet-style empire and under the heyday of Stalin in the 50s, that's just ready to come down. It's fiction and no one believes it. And I think that is why we can see here the increasing desperation on behalf of the pro-war brigade. Finally, Steve, I'm going to hit this point because this is creating a lot of problems here in continental Europe. There's been some sharply worded comments from Zelensky against Olaf Scholz. Now, I've always said that I don't think the German Chancellor is a sociopathic overlord. He's tried to do his best at every stage to moderate the tone of the debate and to prevent escalation. So he has said to his own people, Chancellor Scholz has said to his own people, we can't give these Taurus missiles to Russia because we fear this would be escalatory. Now, apparently, he gave a different explanation to President Zelensky, showing him, from all accounts, sort of text messages on his phone when the two of them were last face-to-face. The private reason, the actual reason, Olaf Scholz doesn't want to give these missiles to Ukraine is more related to Germany's own integrity. It's not a nuclear power. These are the most advanced weapons they have. And Scholz doesn't want to leave Germany bereft of these defensive missiles. And what his, and I'll close with this point, Steve, what his supposed ally, Zelensky, has now done is he's gone public with that and in bitching about Scholz not giving these missiles that he thinks he's entitled to. He said that the real reason Scholz doesn't want to give me these missiles is because it doesn't want to be left in such a vulnerable position. And then he's obviously poor scored on that. That is the nature of this person that we're dealing with. That's an astonishingly ungrateful way, I think, of President Zelensky to treat Germany, who stumped up already 35 billion euros worth of aid for him in this war.
Not just done that, and we've disagreed with him, but put their entire – look, we're alternative for Deutschland or our guys over there, but they've put the entire credibility of the German establishment on this, and to have the guy turn on him like that, that's what's shocking. We're dealing with a bad guy. We've said he's a bad guy from the beginning, and now you're seeing it. But this insertion in the American political process when he came over here, but that was at the invite of McConnell and that crowd. But for him to say now and to throw gasoline on, oh, this is all Russian disinformation and you're having pro-Russian, pro-Putin. We have the farthest thing from pro-Putin, pro-Putin. We keep saying and reiterating on the Great War of the Eurasian landmass in the 1940s, America had two allies, Lao Beijing, the Chinese people, and we had the Russian people. And we should not be at war. Those people are our allies, and in no circumstances should we let the evil gangsters that run them, plus the deep state, forces into a war. And now you've got a guy, this Zelensky guy, this guy is as bad as it gets. And I called out the conservatives that called this guy Winston Churchill. Nothing you say, anybody that said that about Zelensky, because you don't get do-overs in geopolitics. Anybody said that should not be have any credibility whatsoever about the situation we're faced with Ukraine now, where we have $130 to $200 billion, they want another $60. Ben, you've been doing an amazing job. We're probably going to have you in the morning show because this thing is heating up. It's an outright fistfight in the Republican conference about FISA and Ukraine. So, sir, thank you very much. Ben, where can they get all you got such tremendous engagement anyway, but where do they go? It irks me no end. You get better engagement than me. And hey, I'm always proud of hiring people that are better than I am. So where do they go to get your social media, brother?
Steve, I'll tell you, I'll just give a tease either for the morning show. The development, by the way, of what happened in the fallout between Olaf Scholz and Zelensky is that Scholz has given an interview to the Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung, FAZ, in which he said that they're no longer going to talk about conscription. And furthermore, and this is going to be interesting to the war impossible, they're no longer going to cut their social welfare spending in order to meet the 2% on defence. So I think, you know, this is an indication of where Europe now is. This hasn't even come out in English-speaking press, Steve. This is fresh off in the most recent hours, translated direct from German.
We have called this from day one. They're not going to cut their pensions. They're not going to cut their early retirement. They're not going to cut the 6 weeks, 8 weeks vacation, the free college education, the free health care, none of it to get to the 2%. They're going to have the saps in the U.S. That would be you that have no pension, have no early retirement, have no 6 weeks vacation, 8 weeks vacation, no free education, none of it, no free health care, none of it. You're going to pay for it. Oh, by the way, you're going to throw in your sons and daughters on top of it. Outrageous. Ben Harnwell, we'll see you tomorrow morning on the show. Fabulous work.
Thanks, Steve. God bless.
You've single-handed changed this company. Okay. Two sides of maybe the same coin we're going to get into. We got two heavyweights. Matt Staver's going to join me in a minute, but I got to start with Stephen Mosher. Mosher, you started with about the abortions, about what the dictatorship and Chinese Communist Party were doing. You've got a new book, and you know, I think you're one of the smartest guys out there, particularly about the CCP. The only thing I didn't love about your first book was the title. I told you, it's Bully of Asia. I said, they're more than a bully. They're psychopaths. But it was a fabulous book. Once you got past the title, fabulous book. Your new book, you're now getting it right, bro. Now you're going with The Devil and Communist China, from Mao to Xi. Brother, now I got it. I got a cover. I got a book. But I got Staver on here in a moment. And Staver's here to talk about this abortion issue in the United States. Talk to me about how you got in here, about the abortion situation, and when you have a dictatorship and what abortions really do to a society.
Well, I was in the operating room when they were doing forced abortions on women who were 7, 8, and 9 months pregnant, carrying babies who had been conceived when it was legal to have a second, third, and fourth child in China. And now all of a sudden, their unborn children were being declared enemies of the state. Now, communism always has to have an enemy, as you know, Steve. The Communist Party in China has always targeted one enemy after another. The machine, the killing machine, feeds on hate, and the hate has to be focused on a particular group, maybe capitalists today, maybe right-wingers, counter-revolutionaries tomorrow, cultural revolution, basically everybody with an education. And then the one-child policy began, and for 36 years, the enemies of the state that were being devoured by the communist killing machine were the unborn babies of China, boys and girls, overwhelmingly girls, however. And over the course of that 3.5 decades, 400 million unborn and newborn children killed by lethal injection, by the way, were killed, taken out of the Chinese population. In the greatest blunder in social engineering, even in communist history. I mean, you can add the 400 million to Chairman Mao and the Communist Party's 100 million killing spree, but that's 500 billion people altogether. But that's that began my conversion. I mean, that led me back to God. I saw evil. I saw the pit of hell open up before me. And, you know, I've written about Chinese history before. The history of the Communist Party is a total fabrication. I've written about communism before. It's a fantasy that leads to tyranny. But the demonic nature of communist China, looked at through the eyes of a study of the personality of the founder of the Chinese Communist Party and longtime leader Mao Zedong and its current iteration, Xi Jinping. These are evil men who I looked at through the lens of the Ten Commandments, and of course they break every commandment. Mao, as a young man, declared himself to be lawless and godless, and he certainly was. Of course, if you reject God, you often reject the law in consequence. He rejected his own parents, and said later that his father, who was only a rich peasant, had a little more land than he could farm himself, should have been struggled and perhaps executed. He was actually consecrated by his mother as a three-year-old to a stone god not far from the village. He was forced to kowtow and given a new name, the third son of the stone, which as someone like myself who reads the Bible, which tells us to keep our distance from such things, is troubling. And of course, he goes on to violate the fifth commandment, killing hundreds of millions. The sixth commandment, he decided he could achieve immortality by doing what the mythical Yellow Emperor did, by sleeping with 1,000 virgins. And so the 60-year-old Mao in the late 1950s, 60s, began having a secret police bring young village girls, 12, 13, 14, to him every night. Seventh commandment, stealing, lying. He never told the truth when a lie would serve his purposes. It was a very curious thing. Faced with a choice between telling the truth and achieving an end, or telling a lie and achieving the same end, he preferred to lie, to deceive, because then he could count himself clever in the process. He owned all the wealth of China, basically. The people he regarded as nothing more than a renewable resource. When tens of millions of people were dying after the failed Great Leap Forward, where he forced everyone into communes and they starved to death in consequence, he said, he shrugged and he said, so what if a third of the population dies? Their bodies will fertilize the soil. He thought of his fellow dying Chinese as nothing more than human fertilizers, human compost. So whatever, however you look at this individual, who is sort of the model communist Chinese leader even today, he is evil to the core. And, you know, if he wasn't, we're in no position to impose any kind of final judgment on Mao, of course, not on any other human being. That's God's purview. But, you know, you can see in Mao someone who, if he wasn't possessed by the devil, might as well have been, because every choice he made was a choice for death, was a choice for hatred, was a choice for evil.
But he also took, you know, this great civilization. We're going to play the Shen Yun at the bottom of the hour, because they talk about pre-revolution, post-revolution. He destroyed one of the great civilizations in the world. But his demonic possession or his evilness, you know, like in Shakespeare's, in Julius Caesar, outlived him. And in fact, Deng Xiaoping and the guys were came up for the one child policy, the 400 million, which is almost mind numbing. Yeah. When I talk to Chinese Lao Bajing, because, you know, we're one of the leaders in the anti-CCP movement, they keep using this phrase hungry ghost, that what happened with the abortions that was predicated upon Mao had no respect for the Chinese people. They said we could take a nuclear attack if we lost half the population. They breed like rats and we get them back again. Right. That lack of respect for the population led to the one-child policy, led to the forced abortions, and the brutality of the forced abortion, really infanticide in many cases. Is that left a psychological scar on the Chinese people that will literally take decades and decades of freedom to reverse?
Yeah, I mean, the consequences aren't merely demographic. They're certainly demographic. China's population is aging and dying. It's shrinking right now, has been for the last 5 or 6 years. And that, of course, sets in train all sorts of economic consequences. But the spiritual disaster that is the one-child policy will reverberate down through the generations, because the children born over the last few years have no brothers and sisters. They have no cousins. They have no aunts and uncles. The family tree, the family was always important in Chinese culture. All the branches of the family tree have been shorn away, leaving the individual with two parents and four grandparents. And then you have the high suicide rate among women. The suicide rate skyrocketed after forced abortions began because you have these women, 7, 8, 9 months pregnant, who are being told that they must get an abortion. They have no choice, taken in by force in some cases, held down on the operating table in some cases, late in pregnancy, given cesarean section abortions to remove now dead and dying babies in their presence. They're still awake, of course. They're not completely sedated. They're only partially numbed during these assembly line procedures, and then sterilized after that so they can't have any more children. So suicide rates in China among women have been high for decades. You know, the spiritual damage, the hungry ghost you mentioned. All right, what's a hungry ghost? Well, it's someone who is sent prematurely into the other world without being properly buried, without being properly prayed for, without being properly mourned. And there are literally hundreds of millions in the Chinese worldview of those hungry ghosts now, the little children who were ripped out of their mother's stomachs and sent prematurely into the other world. And you're not supposed to mourn for them because they were sacrificed, you see, by the Communist Party for the good of the country, for the good of the party, for the good of the commune. That's what these women were told. They were told they were not allowed to mourn these children because that was a necessary sacrifice for China to achieve greatness. And of course, that was all a lie. The opposite is true. They've compromised China.
Stephen, hang on for 1 second. The book is The Devil and Communist China. It is breathtaking from Mao to Xi. It's breathtaking from the great Steve Mosher. Steve, hang on for a second. Matt Staver, give me your assessment with that as the tee up to what the Chinese Communist Party have done with abortions. Give us your assessment right now with everything that's happening. Very fluid situation here in the United States of America. You're my go-to guy in all this. Where do we stand with abortions in the United States, sir?
Well, since Dobbs was the decision to overturn Roe versus Wade, we have probably 3,000 or so, maybe up to 5,000 fewer abortions per month. And that's every month. So there's tens and tens of thousands of babies who have been born or alive now post June 2022. Those are primarily in states, they're primarily broken down between red and blue states. They're primarily in states where you have different laws that have more restrictive or more pro-life laws. And so what you're seeing, for example, in Florida is just one example. We'll talk about Arizona in just a few minutes. But in Florida, in 1989, Florida Supreme Court had a very activist, judicially irresponsible decision called TW. It made Florida more liberal on abortion than even the 1973 Roe versus Wade. In fact, that decision, the TW decision, referred to a fetus as, quote, "a fetus is a highly specialized group of cells solely dependent upon the mother for sustenance." It made Florida more liberal than Roe versus Wade. So when Roe was overturned in 2022, Florida became an abortion destination state, particularly with the other states in the nearby area that were having more pro-life laws passed. On April 1, however, the Florida Supreme Court overturned that 35-year precedent in a 6-1 decision, just like what the Supreme Court did in Roe versus Wade. They not only overruled the TW decision, but they said that there's no right to an abortion in the Florida Constitution, just like the U.S. Supreme Court said with regards to the U.S. Constitution. That particular decision allowed a 15-week abortion ban to go into effect. And the legislature in 2023 had actually passed a heartbeat bill that would go into effect if the 15-week law would be upheld by the Florida Supreme Court, which it was. So that goes into effect on May the 1st. Now, at the same time, the Florida Supreme Court allowed a proposed amendment to go forward. That doesn't mean it's on the ballot. It's not on the ballot yet because it hasn't been fully certified. And that's a Planned Parenthood-backed bill, also backed by the ACLU. That bill, if it goes on the ballot, and it's not for sure that it will be certified in time for the November ballot, we're still working on that issue. But if it is on the ballot, if it goes on the ballot at any time, That would allow abortion at any time for any reason up to and including birth. It would be so radical that it would overrule all the laws regarding abortion except for parental notification. So how do you deal with that? Obviously, what we're seeing here is there are 16 states that have some level of attempt to put an amendment on the ballot. Some of those are pro-life amendments. Some of those are pro-abortion amendments. Many of those will not be effective. In fact, Maine was just torpedoed yesterday. It will not be on the ballot in November. So there are now 15 states that are still trying to move forward. Some of those are on the ballot, very few. Others are moving to try to get on the ballot, pro-life, and also in some cases, both pro-life and pro-abortion amendments are competing to be on the same ballot. So this is really going to be a battle during this year and the coming years. And I think what we do for this is very important. How we approach it, how we approach, for example, what happened in Arizona, where the Arizona Supreme Court, I think, did the right thing. They looked at the Arizona Constitution, and according to that Constitution, there's no right to an abortion in the Constitution. So that was the court's ruling, therefore allowing a previous law from 1800s to go into effect. But there's also the attempt, and they say they have enough signatures to put this on the ballot, to put in a ballot initiative for the Arizonans to vote in November.
Matt, hang on. I just want to hold you through the break because I want to get to the Arizona situation. Look, this is not my line of country, but the way I read it, what they're trying to put on the ballot, I don't see a lot of difference in that, in only difference in degree, but not in kind, of what was in communist China. Because it's very radical what's going on the ballot in Arizona. I mean, stunningly radical. And we'll get to the details of it. Garrett Ziegler's going to join us. We got Matt Staver. Steve Mosher's going to hang around. I think Jeff Clark's going to join us later. We got a lot to do, a lot of wood to chop. We're going to get it all done. Times of turbulence, you're living through it. You see it here every day. We would love for it to be different, but as Ecclesiastes says, there's a time and season for all. Birchgold.com, a hedge against times of turbulence, has always been gold for 8,000 years of mankind's history. Go to birchgold.com and talk to Philip Patrick and the team. Short commercial break. Back in the warm in just a moment. Tax Network USA is pure war room for solving your IRS tax problems. If you owe back taxes, COVID was your lucky break. Tax court shut down, the IRS paused, and you skated. Well, baby, that party is over. The IRS is adding 20,000 enforcement agents, basically tax cops. Honest, hardworking Americans like you are in the crosshairs. Rich people have tax lawyers and you don't. You'll pay up plus interest and penalties. Tax USA Network has brilliant war room type strategies designed to solve your IRS problem quickly in your favor. Never call the IRS yourself. You're at their mercy. You could sit on hold for 6 to 8 hours and get hung up on. Grind you for all your back taxes, plus interest and penalties. Tax Network USA attorneys have a preferred direct line to the IRS. They know which agents to talk to and who to avoid. If they get difficult agent, hey, they just call a different agent. Tax Network USA learned of a limited time special IRS offer. The IRS is willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. Find out if you qualify before it's too late. Schedule your free confidential consultation with Tax Network USA. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. Think about that. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. They offer a best-in-class client satisfaction guarantee. Now call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000. And visit Tax Network USA. That's TNUSA.com/Bannon. TNUSA.com/Bannon. Make sure you take action on this today. This IRS grind is only going to get much worse. I want to warn you of a huge change that could be coming to our money and our bank accounts. First, think back to 9/11, shortly after the government pushed through the Patriot Act. This gave the government power to spy on innocent Americans by monitoring our phone and email and tracking our movement across the internet. Now, Jim Rickards, editor of the independent financial newsletter Strategic Intelligence and New York Times bestselling author, is warning about a coming event that could elevate this governmental surveillance to a terrifying new level. In fact, some of the guests I've had on the War Room believe that the government will soon expand their powers to track our every move. If we say the wrong things on social media, donate to the wrong causes, buy firearms, or even vote MAGA, the government may be able to shut us out of our bank accounts. I can't say for sure if this will happen, but it's an interesting and dire warning. Fortunately, Jim Rickards, an American patriot and friend of mine, has made it his mission to educate us on what he believes is coming and how to protect yourself from the possibility of programmable money. Watch Jim's warning video now before it's censored like I've been in the past. Go to rickardswarroom.com. That's rickardswarroom.com now to see the video. True or false? Using your tax refund to pay off credit card debt is a smart thing. Actually, that's false. DoneWithDebt.com published a brilliant strategy designed to let you keep your hard-earned tax refund and reduce or eliminate credit card debt. Most Americans owe thousands in credit card debt. In fact, Daily Mail's got a story that 56 million Americans carry credit card debt, and that debt will take years to pay off, if you pay it off at all. Done with Debt found that filing bankruptcy is usually not the answer, and taking out loans to pay off credit cards usually increases the debt. When you engage Done with Debt, their legal experts and skilled negotiators take on the credit card companies for you. Their winning strategies are designed with one goal: solve your debt situation quickly and permanently. First things first, chat with a Done with Debt strategist and explore your solutions. Some debt fighting strategies are time sensitive, so you'll need to move quickly. For a free consultation, visit donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Do it today. Take action.
More than just beautiful dance, it's a touch of the divine. More than just legends, it's the beautiful culture and wisdom of China before communism. More than just a performance, it's an experience that awakens the soul. See it at least once in your lifetime. Shen Yun, an all-new production every year.
Classical Chinese society before the operant word did the buried lead before communism. Think about what the communists did, the murdering butchers, 400 million. And a lot of these were not forced abortions. A lot of it was, I call, infanticide. Maybe I was a little overdramatic, Matt Staver, but is there a lot of difference between this Arizona? Just walk through the points of this Arizona proposition they want to put on in the Constitution. Is there a lot of difference between that and what the Chinese communists did to their population, particularly little baby girls?
Steve, I don't think what you said was an exaggeration. I'm glad you had Stephen Mosher on before my segment because he set it up very well. What happened in communist China is echoing through history, the devastation that it has done and inflicted on the Chinese people, this absolute disregard for life. And that's what we see with these attempts, whether it's Arizona, Florida, or any other state, to put these amendments on the ballot. It's an absolute disregard for the dignity of human life. And these amendments, make no mistake about it, they're very deceptive. They're trying to get people to vote yes. When voting yes, will allow not only the disregard of human life, in some cases up to birth for any reason, but also, I think, paved the way for infanticide. We've seen this in other situations. When you disrespect the dignity of human life, especially through all 9 months of pregnancy, then the next step is, well, what's the dignity of a life that's born? You have infanticide. You have those babies who are in the process of being born, and they're killed in the process of being born. So that's infanticide. So these laws are no different than communist China. And here's what I think we have to do. Rather than be intimidated by the Democratic talking points and the Planned Parenthood lies and talking points, we need to take the message to the people. Take a look at Florida, for example. Florida has completely changed its political landscape in the last several years. Why? not because the leaders, and this includes Governor DeSantis and our legislature, but primarily Governor DeSantis, took the issues to the people and articulated them. And you know what? It resonated with African Americans, with Hispanic. We have record numbers of Republican voters now in Florida because they understood the issues. And they're rejecting the radicalism of abortion and LGBTQ agenda. And what we have to do is not compromise, not run away. We have to articulate the values. And when we do, we understand why, and we reveal the lies of the left, then people resonate no matter where they are. And I think you're going to see a big shift. So this is an opportunity for us to stake the values that are important to us and articulate them and change not only what happens upcoming this November, but the political landscape going into the future.
Staver, you guys put up all the information. This is what I need our audience to do right now. I need everybody to immerse themselves in information. You've got to understand this. You guys do a great job. Where do they go to your site to get the information about all this, and particularly the devil, no pun intended, the devil's in the details here. You need to understand the details. Yeah. The audience has to step forward and know this. Where do they go, Matt?
Yeah, Steve, they can go to our main website, lc.org, just lc.org. But for the issue of abortion, you just add on it /abortion amendments. lc.org/abortion amendments. For all the issues regarding what's happening with children and the LGBTQ and women's sports, it's lc.org/help kids. So help kids or abortion amendments. We put all the information there. And we'll have all the information about talking points and really reveal what these are all about. So you can go out, speak to your member of Congress, speak to those that are running for office, articulate it in your community and make a difference.
No, this is going to be one of the huge battles, whether you want it or not. It's here, folks. This is going to be one of the huge battles this fall. So we need to get engaged on this. And we're going to have people on here every day driving this to make sure that you're fully aware and understand what these issues are, and quite frankly, the radicalness that's coming up in these individual states. Matt Staver, thank you so much. You're one of the great warriors in this area.
Thank you, Steve. Good to be with you.
Mosher, the book is The Devil in Communist China. I want to have you back on. I want the audience to pile into this book. I want them to get it. I want to have you back on. We're going to go through, maybe take an hour and do a breakdown on a Saturday of this book, because it's quite powerful. Like I said, the only thing I didn't love about the first one, Bully of Asia, was bully was too easy a term. But you went old school here, and I'm going to tell you, it's a magnificent book. Where do people get it? Where do people get you, Stephen? Where do they find out all the information about your writing and your thinking?
Well, The Devil in Communist China is available from the publisher Tan Books, one word, Tan Books, or from us at pop.org, pop.org. If you get it from us, I'll have a chance to sign it before I send it out. We're on, of course, all the social media under my name and under the name of the Population Research Institute. We're a pro-life, pro-family organization, so don't be confused by the name Population Research Institute. We believe that humanity's big problem is too few babies, not too many babies. Thanks for having me on today. I look forward to our next meeting.
Well, Stephen, also for the Hungry Ghosts that were not properly commemorated, thank you. You've done a great job of exposing this to the entire world, this murderous dictatorship. So thank you so much.
No, thank you.
Don't think it can't happen here. Don't think it can't happen here. This is what this fight's about. These apparatuses, they start taking on a life of their own. When you read Mosher's book, you'll see. They start to have this own internal logic about their own control. One of the guys stepping up to that is Garrett Ziegler. Of course, they're trying to put Garrett out of business at all the times. So we have Garrett, or that, who? We did. Garrett dropped. We lost Garrett Ziegler. Gosh, I had it all teed up. Jeff Clark though joins us. Jeff, they're trying to put you in jail. They're trying to take your law license. They're trying to do everything. You're a target. But you've got, first of all, I know you're very good about not saying anything. Tell me about what's your current status for whatever you can say before we jump into the what's happening in Ohio.
Sure, Steve. Well, thanks for asking. Look, I was just describing to a colleague before I came over here that, look, I'm in 8 different litigation forums. there's more litigation that I'm involved in than you can shake a stick at. I think in that regard, you know, President Trump's in his own league, obviously, but, you know, I think I'm probably the second most targeted person after President Trump. I'm in the local D.C. bar process, the D.C. Court of Appeals, the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia, the D.C. Circuit, the Northern District of Georgia, the 11th Circuit, the Fulton County Superior Court, and the Georgia Court of Appeals. I mean, it's just, it's off the charts. And so it's really, there are a lot of things to fight, and they're trying to destroy me with everything they have, and you have to ask the question why. And my answer is because, obviously, I wanted to investigate the election, and they don't like that. They think the 2020 election, well, I think they lie and say it, but they say the 2020 election was perfect, was pristine. It wasn't, and people raise questions about it. I raise questions about it, and they want to, you know, send me to my grave for it, either in prison or with a loss of law license or with, you know, just disgrace and trying to prevent me potentially from going back to some high-level service in the government if there's a second Trump administration.
Well, there will be a second Trump term, and you're on the short list for attorney general. I know they go nuts when I say that, but that's just reality. You're a brilliant lawyer. Before I talk about East Palestine, which you've got an update, you're a man of faith. Has your faith gotten stronger? Has that helped you get through all this?
It has, Steve. Look, I was raised in a Catholic family by my dad, you know, who was a strong Catholic and went through 12 years of Catholic school. And, you know, to be honest, right, I think that faith, I allowed it to become less important to me over time, but I felt a calling back to it in October of 2020 before the election. But I felt like, you know, maybe I was getting being made ready for something, and I think I was. So I think that if I didn't have faith to draw on, if I didn't have my family to draw on, that I probably would already have caved to all of this nonsense. But the thing that keeps me fighting is the fact that I think we're in a spiritual war. We have, you know, the satanic gangs coming across the border. We have their fentanyl, their human trafficking. We have the murder of innocents. We have, you know, just one stupid policy after another, you know, genital mutilation of our youth, and on and on. And, you know, I stand against all that. And I think that's another reason why I'm a target, because they want to destroy America. And one of the things that I'd been at the forefront of is protecting America, especially America's industrial base, from continued erosion by, I think, these Chinese-funded environmental groups, Steve, that are trying to hollow America out from the inside. And sadly, they've had a lot of success at that.
Let's talk about the East Palestine. You've done a tremendous job here of giving us guidance and walking us through what went on. There's been some resolution, I think. You're not quite satisfied with it. Can you walk us through exactly where we stand right now in East Palestine
sure.
with Norfolk Southern and the U.S. government?
Yes. So here, Steve, look, you know, your viewers have been very sympathetic to the plight of the people in East Palestine. You have, and, you know, you've gone there to visit with the people. It took a year for Biden to get out there, and I think obviously that's election related. What's happened yesterday was a settlement in principle, class action settlement in principle, was announced yesterday. It's going to be $600 million. The details of the deal won't be announced until April 19th at the earliest, but we have at least some sketch of it. It's going to resolve all claims within 20 miles of the derailment. And so we're probably talking about economic claims there, like, you know, loss of home value, other kinds of damages, like having to move out of your house temporarily, et cetera. And then all personal injury claims within 10 miles of the derailment. The thing that the settlement leaves open is Norfolk Southern's ability to go after the rail car companies on the theory that they're liable, or at least they should pay some part of the $600 million. So the plaintiff's lawyers involved in this, I thought it was very odd. I didn't see any of the signatories in the motion that was filed yesterday from Ohio. And, you know, I'd like to see ideally plaintiff's lawyers involved in the local community because, you know, that gives them skin in the game. So it's going to be interesting to see how they're going to divvy up this $600 million, what the process will be for that. We have to monitor and watch that. But it also, I think, occasions some time for a general update of what's going on there. So let's check in with the incompetent EPA.
Yeah.
So EPA still has on their website that the incident commander was the fire chief, and the fire chief and Norfolk Southern are the ones responsible for the controlled burn. So that's clearly an attempt to run away from something that, as I've explained before on your show, the Clean Water Act mandates that the EPA administrator is in charge of. So we just have, you know, more feckless non-accountability from the Biden administration on that. Worse yet, there had been a very early announcement that it was safe by EPA for people to return to their homes because they tested their air levels. 600 people signed up, you know, sort of at random. They went to their houses with these handheld monitors, and, you know, they checked the air levels of one of the key pollutants. And they came back and they said, oh, it's all clear. It's below the level set by the agency that fixed a safety limit for butyl acrylate as a result of this incident. They didn't have a safety level before. And, you know, they said, well, it's under that level. You can go back to your home. But it turns out that the handheld devices EPA sent their checkers into the homes with couldn't detect at that level. So they misled people. People went back into their homes, even though the levels there were unsafe and they couldn't even, you know, rightly tell people and reassure them that it was safe to go back into their homes. So it's just, it's like one foul up after another with EPA. It's gross incompetence, wow. Steve.
Jeff, where do people get more access to you about your fight now against the administrative state and also all the knowledge you've got over at CRA about the situation in East Palestine? Where do people go?
Sure. So the Center for Renewing America is at AmericaRenewing.com, Steve. I'm on social media on Getter and X as Jeff Clark US, and on Truth Social as Real Jeff Clark. And then in terms of trying to help me out, if you do want to help out in the fight, I have a GiveSendGo at GiveSendGo.com/Jeff Clark, Steve.
Jeff, fantastic work. And you keep fighting. We got your back, and we look forward to having you back on.
Thanks a lot, Steve. I really appreciate it.
America. No, you're one of the best fighter, and he will be either White House counsel or attorney general. Garrett Ziegler, we've talked all this show about faceless bureaucrats, about what's happening in FISA, what's happening with this money overspent in Ukraine, the abortion situation. You had Mosher on about the faceless bureaucrats that murdered 400 million babies in China. You just heard Jeff Clark, they're coming after him. You've done something about it. We've only got a couple of minutes because we had a technical problem with you. Your directories. I want to make sure everybody gets the website. Everybody goes. How do they use them? Because you're putting a face to the faceless, sir.
Well, thank you. And sorry again for the tech stuff. We are committed to putting a dossier, a directory out there that allows people to redress their grievances. This is important for a couple of reasons. Number one, if you don't know who is involved in the Biden investigation, you can't demand accountability from them for their conflicts of interest. Just to name a couple of the conflicts of interest, the two that I want to focus on today, and there are 59 people in the DOJ directory. We've already done one for the IRS. We already did one for the FBI. 59 folks in the DOJ. These two folks, Matt Colangelo and Anthony Coley, both of these folks are not in the DOJ anymore, but they're both fighting Trump, and they both worked on the Trump investigation. Matt Colangelo is going to be up and center at the counsel's off or the counsel's table next week, drawing the jury. I know he's known to your audience, but I just want the public to focus on this guy. His wife was the chief counsel of the SEC during the Obama administration, and now she's the chief counsel for this hedge fund called Renaissance Technologies, the head of the snake of the cabal. And this guy, Anthony Coley, was basically Merrick Garland's chief spokesman, and now he's on Twitter talking about the Trump case in Manhattan, and he's probably leaking all of that confidential information to reporters all over New York City. And so when we talk about that unfeeling uniparty, Steve. And by the way, these are free. Go to MarcoPolo501c3.org. when we talk about that unfeeling uniparty, we have to have people who know how to navigate it and know how to get rid of these bureaucrats who are deracinating the country. We have to know who they are, what their names are, and how to maneuver those bureaucracies, because it is ruining the country. Rome fell for many reasons, right? The German invaders, everything else. But it also fell because of the sheer complexity of the regime and the inability for the incumbent administrators to effectuate policy. If DJT is going to get back in, he needs to have people who know their way around the agencies and can get rid of the snakes. The next thing I want to talk about is I want to give a quick shout out to Ana Paulina Luna. She's going to be submitting a declaration in our lawsuit with Hunter Biden, which has a hearing in 2 weeks, Steve. This is all related to our work with Marco Polo. Hunter is suing us for, in part, releasing on Hunter what we've done with these directories, which is just pure transparency. They hate that. And, you know, one of the reasons I was thinking about why they hate Jeff Clark so much, I think it's because he has no fear. He's one of the few people on our side, Steve, that's not a careerist. I'm not a careerist. I've shot every opportunity in corporate America for myself. You know, that's down the river. Corporate America is never going to hire me, and I'm okay with that because the cabal is corrupt, and I think that's why they want to go after Jeff Clark so much, is that he's not afraid of them. Marco Polo is not afraid of them. Colangelo has to be prosecuted in some way, either selective prosecution. There's something that they are violating conflict of interest laws, and they're violating selective prosecution regulations going after DJT.
Where do they go right now? I want everybody, because the next couple of days you're going to be a guest on here a lot as we lead into this historic trial next week. Where do people go right now to both get to the directories, find out more of what you're working on the laptop from hell, and support you? Where do they go?
Two sites. The most important one, MarcoPolo501c3.org. MarcoPolo501c3.org. That is where all the directories are. Download them, study them. This is a very good way to get involved. If you want to be informed, it's not just enough to know the broad contours. And this is why I like the program. Every viewer of this program needs to dig deep into the people. The people that are ruining this country have to be named and shamed and fired. We cannot just talk in platitudes. The second site is fightbiden.org. It has the links to our dockets, seeing that Hunter Biden is suing us in federal court. And we just filed a recusal motion that they can read and keep up on, because the judge in the case was appointed by the plaintiff's daddy 3 months before the case got assigned to him. So we're fighting a Marxist judge who was appointed by Joe.
Garrett Ziegler, thank you so much. Look forward to having you back on the next couple of days in this run-up to the trial of the century. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you for the opportunity.
They're using the administrative and deep state to come after President Trump. Okay, Lou Dobbs is next. We're going to be back here at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. In the interim, I'm getting ready to launch the latest installment, the fifth installment of the End of the Dollar Empire, birchgold.com/Bannon. Go. It's all totally free. Also, you can talk to Philip Patrick and the team of, hey, Philip, keep watching War Room. Ben is giving the macro. Why is gold keep reaching all-time highs? Who's buying? Who's selling? What's going on? Birchgold.com/Bannon. Also, Sacred Human Health. Go get the grass-fed beef livers and get some energy. Lou Dobbs follows. We're back here.
Right now, millions of Americans face prescription medication shortages. The FDA's medication shortage list currently has over 120 prescription medications listed. Some patients are being forced into more expensive substitutes, while others are rationing what little medication they have left. Don't get caught unprepared. That's why I want you to pick up a Jace case today. The Jace case is a pack of essential antibiotics that can treat a long list of common bacterial illnesses, including UTIs, respiratory and skin infections, plus much more. And each case can be customized for your specific needs with dozens of add-on options. Just fill out a simple online form and Jace handles the rest. From the online evaluation to licensed pharmacy delivery and ongoing care, visit jacemedical.com and use code Bannon at checkout for an extra discount. That's promo code Bannon at Jace, J-A-S-E, jacemedical.com. Get the Jace case and get it today. Action, action, action.
War Room at checkout to save 67%. Do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.